If you are like me and know that free enterprise is the greatest opportunity in the world, but you also see there are huge issues starting to arise, like why is mentorship decreasing in popularity? Why do entrepreneurs like us who love to succeed see people fail at the top and never leave true significance? And how do people like us make a lasting impact on the world, and is it possible for enough entrepreneurial leaders together to make a real difference? These are the blaring questions, and this podcast is the answer. Journey with me, your host, Christian. Together, we will challenge the status quo and conquer our legacies.
Thank you so much for tuning into Journey with Christian D. Evans podcast. My name is Christian D. Evans, and guys, we have someone very, very amazing on this podcast today that we're going to be talking a little bit about it. She's actually from Italy, and I'm just really excited to share her story, but also her transformational kind of what she's been able to do in her clients and just living this Italian lifestyle is what she likes to call it. You know, so she has pioneered the four pillars of Dolce Vita Life Mastery Model, working privately with a select group of elite business owners and executives. Her Mediterranean-infused methodology ascends today's high flyers to unprecedented levels of success while living La Dolce Vita, the signature Italian lifestyle. She is the leadership and lifestyle designer for ultra-high performers and global business leaders, my friend, Angela Santi. How are you doing today, Angela?
Hi, Christian. I'm doing great. Of course, I'm living La Dolce Vita every single moment of my life.
I'm really excited about it because I think that is so huge. I was actually listening to a podcast earlier today, and it talks about living in the present moment, right? We think so much in the future. We think so much in the past, our failures and stuff like that. And, you know, kind of tell me what, you know, before we kind of jump into the Dolce, you know, Italian lifestyle, what was the transformational story that allowed you to come to grips with that, you know, from where you were living a busy lifestyle to, you know, now embracing that, you know, Italian, that lifestyle, if you will?
Yeah, very good question. This is a very long story that I try to squeeze into a very short story. So actually I am getting back to my Dolce Vita lifestyle as the first part of my life was a super Dolce Vita. I was so lucky to be born in a family of entrepreneurs, multi-generational entrepreneurs. So as you can imagine, I had plenty of opportunities, you know, to grab. And my family was and is still a family of very open-minded people, mavericks in a way. And since when I was very young, they really empower me to follow my heart, to follow my talent, to do whatever I want. And as I am a globetrotter, I am always eager to connect with people. You know, this is one of my big passions. I travel all my life, lived in many parts of the world until I finished the university. And during the university, I have an academic degree in human sciences, literature and linguistics, American literature and linguistics. So this is why I know the American literature or the English word quite well, because, you know, through the literature, of course, you know, the culture, and I also live there. So after those years, I was like, what shall I do? What shall I do? You know, I have to go to work somehow. And I chose not the most interesting. I didn't choose my heart, and I chose the easiest way, which was to go and work in my family business. So at that time, my family was distributing luxury cars in Northern Italy. We went one of the top 10, this is lifestyle, you know, one of the top 10 Italian distributors for Ferrari, for Mercedes-Benz, for Maserati. So you can imagine how cool everything was, you know, over a lot of parties and many other amazing things. But the thing is that when I started working in corporate, and I had no clue, because as I told you, you know, my background is literary, and then I was in charge of human resources development and organizational development and change management, which was, you know, kind of a, you know, same bucket, I would say. And I started, I had a seat in the board of directors. So there, I had no Dolce Vita at all from the inside. Whereas from the outside, I was having these amazing parties at the golf club, yachting club. And, you know, you can imagine like private jet and all the fun things. This wasn't right for me. I don't know how to tell you, you know, it wasn't right for me because I really wanted to succeed and I wanted to succeed in a male dominated world. So the automotive industry is really, really biased. And I was the only woman and I started living like men. I was aping my, you know, like the other managers, the other executives, working the long hours, commuting, and I was forgetting my passions, everything, you know, that really lets me up from the inside. So I was doing nothing for that because I was in such a comfort zone, you know, because everything was so amazing. So what happened is that the world crisis 2008 or 2009, depending where you are in the world, crisis hit. And my company business collapsed like this, you know, in 3 seconds. So I started from scratch from that moment. And that moment where when I was sitting, you know, by myself saying, you know what, I'm not going to play the victim. I'm not a victim at all. This is my chance to start over. So I started creating my own consulting business in organizational development and human resource development. And it was like in person, going all over Italy, commuting again. And, you know, after a few years, I was like, hey, wait a minute, I'm doing something that I didn't want to do. So I knew how to change and I changed it again. And I pivoted all my business online with the help of a couple of American business coaches when all the Italians were telling me it's impossible. You need to have, you know, get in touch with people. So this is the first lesson that I learned. Never listen to other people's limiting beliefs. And I would say no, because I have, you know, like I have proofs overseas. So I continued, I went on. And when the pandemic hit, I was already online. Everybody in Italy were discovering Zoom and I was on Zoom since 4 years. And so, and I just had, you know, like to hit the accelerator, you know, if we want to keep the car metaphor. And during the pandemic, I really was called to work, to open my influence and work with some Europeans. And then even more, I said, wow, probably the Americans would love to live La Dolce Vita because all of them, many of them are coming to Italy. So why not helping them to bring La Dolce Vita into their houses, into their lives and business lives in the United States? So here I am.
That is an incredible story. I mean, going from, like you said, that luxury lifestyle and then obviously hitting that in corporate America. So let me ask you, you know, when you were pivoting, when everything stopped, it was just like a total stop in your life. Did it take you a while to pivot and or was it like instantaneous? Like, okay, this is my opportunity. This is my chance. Well, what did that look like?
It really took more than a while. I went on through trial and errors. You know why? Because, well, first of all, since I was so identifying myself with my business in corporate, with my role in corporate, it was so difficult for me to transition, you know, from that place of the executive, successful executive woman to something different. So this is the first thing. And it really helped me like assessing what are my skill sets, where are my superpowers, you know, what do I like to do? And then I proceeded, you know, by trial and errors, you know, over and over again. And let me tell you, I had a successful business in Italy, but no way I can't even compare how much I love gathering together with Anglo-Saxons and new North Americans. I'm having way more fun. Doors are opening in an incredible way. And I'm really coming back to myself, to when I was living in the US, in California, you know, as a student, and everything was so wonderful. So I can say I just feel accomplished just by thinking about it. You know, you see my eyes are sparkling just talking about that.
That's awesome. And so let me ask you, because obviously you have clients in Italy, you have clients in the European Union, and then you have clients in the United States. What have you found out is the difference between each client or client base? Or are they slightly different? Because I know the West is slightly different, you know, very, you know, just different. And so I was just curious, which one do you like to work with the best? And, you know, what's the differences in between each client, would you say?
I would say that they are very different. So let me tell you that in Italy, Northern Italian, Central Italian, and Southern Italian are already a difference in themselves. But the common denominator is that they are much more, talking about La Dolce Vita, they are more on the Dolce Vita side than on the push, 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 push mode. Even those from Northern Italy, let's say Milano or, you know, the capital city for economics and finance, which is, you can compare it to New York, you know, as a lifestyle. Of course, it's not as frantic as in New York, not at all, no comparison, you know. If a New Yorker goes to Milan, it's like, oh, they're doing nothing here, you know, they're on holidays all day. So what I found is that the European life is way more laid back than the American. So the American, probably it's, you know, for this Protestant origin, you know, culture, which is really you have to do the hard work and you are saved only through the hard work. It's really impacting a lot. And people are very much more on that's autopilot than the Europeans. Europeans are, you know, like have this Catholic and also Protestant culture, but they are much more gentle with themselves. And they are hard workers, even the Italians, you know, because the Italian stereotype is not of hard workers at all. You can imagine Italians having aperitivo or a pizza or, you know, like a cafe or a cappuccino all the time, but it's not this is not the case. So we are very hard workers, and but we are very good at dividing the moment. You know, when you work hard, you go all in. But then when you play hard, you go all in with your play. And what's important, you at the beginning, you said something which was magical, you know, like stay present in the moment. So Italians like to seize the moment. Pleasure has to be grabbed in the moment, which sometimes leads to the detrimental part. There is too many distractions, too many pleasures. So Italians have to be... get more discipline.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that, because I think that is a very big thing about the West culture, right? And I know Italians are really good at that. I went to Italy, you know, numerous times throughout my life, and obviously I'll probably go more often as well. But you know, I do know that they are, you know, enjoy the present moment. And so let me ask you, you know, was that hard for you going from this, you know, corporate America, going full throttle, 100%? You know, to then slowing down and not really slowing down, but just enjoying and kind of pivoting to, okay, hey, I'm going to enjoy the moment. And yeah, I have goals. Yeah, I have dreams. Yeah, I have ambitions and so forth that you want to accomplish and for your clients and so forth. But being able to really say, okay, you know what, I'm going to make this pivot internally. And what did that look like?
Yeah. At the beginning, it was very difficult because I am a type perfectionist, you know. So if you can imagine, so it was very difficult because I was in that guilty mode all the time. So, you know, I'm not doing enough. I'm not perfectionist. You know, this is not perfect enough. This is, you know, I'm not going too much. And then, you know what? Some clients really opened my eyes because I was on that. I have to have it all perfect. I have to prepare. And once I didn't have the time to prepare. So I just went in, not improvising, of course, because I have, you know, like more than 20 years experience. But everything, what for me sucked, it was terrible. For the client was, wow, so many aha moments. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. So what was I chasing? You know, why don't I start becoming more gentle with myself, allowing myself much more self-care time or enjoyment time? So then I started inserting, like, say, every month, I take 3 or 4 days off so that I can go, well, and do something, okay, COVID permitting, you know, pandemic permitting, I will start again. But even with the pandemic, so it's been more challenging, but you can create your Dolce Vita everywhere. I am so lucky as to have a very beautiful garden in my house. I have the hills very close to my house, 5 minutes walking. So I just, you know, grab my gym shoes, my sneakers, and I, you know, I stay 1 hour or whatever. And I discover that the more I enjoy Dolce Vita time, the more my brain is making synopsis, is, you know, like letting things percolate. I get ideas and I get, you know, that very useful detachment that makes me have the perspective, the right perspective for taking the right decision, for understanding new things, for being creative and all that. So this is something that I have, you know, experienced in person and that I'm bringing to my clients all the time.
Yeah, because a lot of the individuals that I've worked with before, I remember like a psychological thing that they struggle with a lot of times was they would be at work and they feel guilty for not being with their family. And then they'd be with their family and they're not, they feel guilty for not being at work, you know, or like running their business or something like that. And I just love what you're saying because it is that, you know, Italian lifestyle, right? That kind of that ability to say, okay, hey, I'm going to live in my present moment. And kind of walk me through this process. So some people that struggle with that, okay, how do you help them kind of come to grips? Do you create a custom plan for them to say, okay, how do I, you know, be intentional with making sure that you go and run? Because I agree, we'll talk about that here shortly, about the massive creativity that you can have living that kind of just, you know, doing some spontaneous things. But do you create a custom plan or do you help them, you know, facilitate some random things like, you know, hey, go out and cook or do something totally out of your, you know, out of your comfort zone, something so bizarre you're really not good at, maybe guitar lessons or piano lessons or something, you know, something that is totally bizarre that has nothing to do with your business, your life or whatever. What does that look like?
So what I do is I work one-on-one and I really like to customize my program for the specific client because first of all, there is, when I say La Dolce Vita, what does La Dolce Vita mean? You know, La Dolce Vita is like success. Everyone has their own definition of success. So everyone has their own definition of La Dolce Vita. And it can be something, you know, super luxurious, you know, maybe like playing golf every day or, you know, taking a vacation in the Caribbean or whatever, you know, like traveling, even becoming a digital nomad and giving, you know, like living with your backpack all the time. So it really depends. So, and then every person is different. So what I do is I start assessing what they want, where they're at, what is La Dolce Vita for them. And I have created a tool for them to understand, to have very quickly some insights. Then what I like to do is to start with a deep dive, with an intensive that can be either virtual or hybrid, meaning that whenever travel condition, you know, permit it, I want my client to go away from their environment and to be in a location that they like. And it can be very relevant to what they have the most need to work on. And then we start working from then enjoying La Dolce Vita moment when, you know, like while we work. So this is creating massive shifts because the person is really walking the talk. They're embodying, you know, what they do. So, and then from there, I give them a blueprint and they can decide to implement it by themselves or we can, you know, implement it together. And everything inside this container is super flexible. So really depending on how the person is responding, and how much, you know, they need to have me by their side. And this is why I only take 2 or 3 maximum clients at the same time, because I really want to be all in and be there for them. And it can include, like, really, as you said, doing something completely weird, completely out of the blue, very far from their mentality, or having them recollect something that they like to do, but that, you know, they forgot. You know, sometimes you had passions and you don't, you know, then how long have I, haven't I been to the movie or read a book or had this trip? Or, you know, I've always wanted to visit whatever, go to do it now.
Well, and you're exactly right. And I love that because so many times, you know, and I caught myself in this, and this is the reason why I'm saying this is because, you know, I was focused at the beginning of my life, just focused on building my business because I wanted to spend more time with my family. Right. And the reality was I was sacrificing the most important thing during that time for the least important thing. And then I started realizing that I wasn't really enjoying life. It was because I have to hustle. I have to do it. I have to get, you know, and for what cause? Right. And the reality is just like you're saying, Angela, I just love that approach. It's, hey, you can do all of it throughout your life and have that Italian lifestyle while going out there building a successful business. Now, also, something that I love what you're talking about is having this creativity, like you were saying, when you go run or when you go and you know, plant or be around your garden, it creates, you know, massive creativity, which then allows you to find solutions in yourself that then you can come back to your business. And what I found with, you know, dealing with business owners and, you know, high level achievers is that most of them, it's not a matter of being actively, it's more of like strategically thinking. And that's where majority of business owners should be focusing a lot of time on. But by doing these other attributes or other things that creative that enhance creativity, right? Something so bizarre. I'm just curious, when you're working with clients, what have you seen the result because of their because of this kind of lifestyle change, if you will?
So yeah, I tell you, I'm totally in and 100% subscribe what you said before. And let me tell you that this part of the strategic thinking, so we are so so as a leader, as a business owners, it sounds like a paradox, but the more we want to thrive, the more outside the office we should need to stay. Because if we want to think out of the box, if you want to be strategic, if we want to see our business from a perspective, we have to be far away, you know, because if you are inside, if you're in a box, you think like, you know, have this boundary of the box, and we see only what we see. So this is one of the things that I really encourage and my clients really fight is stay out of your company. So this is one of the major challenges. But then what I see is that they understand that, of course, a business process is never, you know, like a highway. It's like a roller coaster and you have to change. I like to call, you know, like a rally race, you know, because it's dangerous, it's adventurous, and you have to be ready. There are some moments when you can push on the accelerator so you have less dolce vita, but it's like sprint. But on the day by day, you have to find this, you know, like energy and, you know, like perspective, as we say. So what I notice is that at the end, they are more relaxed, they are happier, they discover things, you know, like, wow, they even discover things in their own house that they've never put their attention on. So, and they discover that if they are able to delegate in the right way, so, you know, of course, there is a process behind delegation and there is a process behind employee empowerment and many other things. Things go on as well as, you know, if they are inside the office micromanaging everybody, maybe they work better and they understand that, you know, all the decisions should make at the level where they should be made. So you don't want to be a bottleneck. They stop being a bottleneck. In fact, it's a struggle to let go of bottlenecking because you feel that you're losing contact with your business. It's your creature. But when you are able to disidentify, you know, yourself with that, a whole lot of things happen and they're actually, yeah, more creative, happier, better relationship with family, better relationship inside the workplace. Because one of the things that I help them, that I inspire them to do is by becoming a Dolce Vita leader, you start leading from your heart and creating really true connections with the people that are inside you. You discover that you have human beings that are working with you. And they have a whole story, you know, behind them that you don't even know. So it's interesting. It's a very interesting process.
Well, and I think it's so important to kind of talk about this, you know, even in more depth, just, and I appreciate you sharing this, because it is a paradigm shift, like you were saying. You know, it's this concept that I think, you know, I mean, we hear Elon Musk talk, yeah, I work 100 some hours a week, you know, and it's almost like that is that's the rite of passage for business leaders, executives, right? You know, business owners. And the reality, like you were just saying, and I'd love to get to the result a little bit more, is like, you know, here, we have that concept where we always have to be working. Now, don't get me wrong. At the beginning of the stages of your business, you have to be hustling. You have to make things happen. However, there comes to a point where actually the best return on investment of your time and energy is doing those things where it's that, you know, Italian lifestyle, like you were saying, right? Being able to do something creative that enhances that creative, that thinks, you know, strategically. So give me some ideas. You know, because obviously, like you were saying, you create a custom plan, but give me some kind of ideas that other people may have not have thought of, maybe taking cooking lessons or doing piano, or, you know, like myself, I started doing taking pilot license because I want to, you know, just, you know, have my own sports pilot license just because it's something totally off the beaten path. But give me some other ideas that you've helped, you know, your top high performers kind of just totally, you know, help them have that creative space.
So it's a very good question, because this is something that I like to try with myself first and then suggest. Of course, everybody has different tastes, but if you like outdoor activities, for instance, it's interesting to know that soft skills can be fostered and enhanced not only by working or by taking, you know, like some good consultant in your business, you know, at your workplace, but they can be enhanced way better outside. For instance, you go paragliding. So when you go paragliding, you understand, you know, there is a whole process. There is, you know, you go and you are on the, you have to jump, and you have to jump when there is nothing. You know, you have your feet that are touching the ground for a moment, and then they're not touching the ground anymore. So you can use this metaphor for your business. So how does it feel? What are the things that you do? Probably in the beginning, you do paragliding with your instructor at your back. So you want to do the same, asking for some help. And then you are flying. So what do you see? What's different? You know, what you discover, you know, you, for instance, you have been very familiar with an environment. And then all of a sudden, when you fly, you see it from a different perspective. The same stand up paddle surf. You have to, you know, to learn how to balance yourself. And then maybe you fall down and then you have to stay up. Going skiing, same thing. There is no one snow. So before, there is no one kind of skiing, you know, so you have to decide what kind of ski, then you have to get the right equipment. Depending on the snow, you have to prepare your ski and all those things, you know, that you do on autopilot when you do them, you know, as a hobby. When you do them as a hobby, but with a purpose of understanding more about your business, this can click you so many things.
I love that. I love that. Just some creative ideas. I think that's just awesome. Because my dad and I actually later this March, we're going to go sailing, and we're going to go down to the Gulf of Mexico near Florida. And the reason why is because it helps me learn about how to do sailing and just something creative, something different, but it's also with my dad and so forth. So I love these ideas because again, the return on investment, it's to me, I think it's so remarkable, because then all of a sudden you have that creative idea and you start bringing it back to your business or bringing it back to your infrastructure. And all of a sudden you start, and it's not, like you said, it's not just a matter of revenue increase, right? Which it definitely can be, but it's also, you know, lifestyle increase, like you were saying.
Exactly. Not to mention another very important thing. I don't know if you are in a golf court or just outside, but I'm always thinking about the golf, you know, so when you, we know that the best businesses are done between people that share the same interests. So going out and doing meaningful things with people you like to hang out with can open you. It's a amazing way to network, even, you know, because what I've noticed that is, this is very different from Italians and Americans. I see from what I see from here, in Americans are very intentional in networking. So you go da-da. Italians are more casual. You just go and see what happened, you know. And then we all create this very tight and strong relationship. And then you really want to do some joint venture with some of your girlfriends or, you know, friends that go to sail with you or other people. So really staying outside has also this ROI, which is amazing. And you never know who are other people that you can meet. Of course, you have to go in the right place. But yeah.
Yeah, which makes sense. And see, yeah, like you were saying, I am at a park right now. And the reason why is because our podcast is Journey with Christian D. Evans podcast. And I thought, you know, what's better way to do this than journey throughout life? And then obviously have a live podcast going all sorts of different parks and stuff. And I had a podcast on the sailboat before. But just coming back to your point, you know, just having that connection with your friends, your family, and people outside of business, right? Or even outside of that. Now, what I'm curious on, just coming back to the Italian way, is that more beneficial where it's just more of like, hey, let's just see what happens instead of being very intentional? Because I do agree with you in that regard, because I see that in myself. I'm going to a business conference. The whole point is to get to network with people, and I'm going to be very intentional. Or is it just to be able to come in and just be in the present moment and just connect with people and just, you know, have that more of that kind of relational aspect more so than, hey, I'm coming in to find a business partner and a joint venture kind of way?
I think, yeah, I think that the answer is let's find a sweet spot between the two ways of networking, because if you are too casual, maybe, you know, the risk is you enjoy your time so much, but you lose focus, or you see the results in the long run, because then you are creating very strong relations that are not meant for business. But you are tightening these relations. The Americans, from what I see, are more on a short-term vision. You know, I go there, I want to meet this person and, you know, get it done, etc. So if you can find a sweet spot between the two things, you know, being intentional, but also being very genuinely open and interested in creating a meaningful connection with other people. So I think that this pays very much.
And that's a very good perspective in that regard. I do agree with that, because I think I've been too much on the other side of the more too much intentional, where I'm really focused and almost lose that opportunity to just be a best friend for someone, you know, just being able to listen and talk a little bit. So let's kind of dive into, you know, when you were developing throughout this, you know, your own lifestyle, right? When you're working with these high performing clients, what is the struggle? That do a lot of them jump on board really quickly and say, hey, let's do this, let's make this happen? Or like, what is that process? Do some of them really fight it and really struggle with it, and you really have to keep them accountable? What are some things that you've seen that maybe some of our listeners struggle with personally?
Okay, very good question. So the first thing that I wanted to say is I only work with people that are ready to go all in. So why? Because I have in the past, I have worked with clients that weren't ready. I'm an empath. I want to help people. And I was like, oh yeah, let's try. Didn't work. Once I really had to fire a client and I decided to give the money back because they were questioning all the time. They didn't want to commit. So I said, you know what? I've learned it on my skin. Never, ever, ever again. So what I do now is as I only work with a limited number of clients, I really cherry pick my clients. So I select them from the beginning and I really want them to be ready or ready to commit. They have to understand that there will be an ROI at the end and they have to trust the process. Okay, so this is the condition sine qua non, meaning the condition to work together. After that, what I see, it's different from person to person. Some persons are enthusiastic at the beginning and then they lose themselves. I like to work with creative people. You know, they are this, you know, people that have this next shiny object syndrome. So they start and they get very, what are the priorities? So I have to keep them very much accountable. And at, on the other side, I've also worked with clients that were kind of independent. They understood, they were very quick. So, and this is why I'm telling you that I am very flexible in the way I support my clients, because some of them need to meet every week. Some others need to meet maybe every 3 weeks. So it doesn't matter. And we just, you know, like write each other. Is everything okay? Do you need me somehow? You know, and maybe we just do a 50-minute check-in for, so, and then at a certain point, there is, sometimes it's a struggle, sometimes it's a plateau, and it's a total organic part of the learning process. So the learning process is generally like starting a little bit slow, then something clicks and you make very quick results. And then it's like when you go on a diet, you know, and then nothing happens for some weeks. And at that, this is the most challenging moment, because you are tempted to go back. Ah, the way it doesn't work. So this is when, you know, it's most important that I'm there to like kick them, to support them, to have them, you know, overcome this challenge. And this is the moment when the clients need to trust the process more. Then when they overcome this challenge, everything clicks again.
Yeah, I see that all the time in business. You're exactly right. And I love what you said in the weight loss. You know, all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, I feel really good. I feel amazing. Definitely, like, you know, when you really start, you feel the pain, the front, and then all of a sudden it plateaus. And then all of a sudden, that's where the exponential growth actually happens. It's building. It's almost like a rubber band. It's just twisting. And then of course, really just compact, and all of a sudden it shoots. But that's where the exponential growth happens. And I know I've seen that in numerous business owners, and as well as, you know, just like yourself and lifestyle. So this is really good stuff. Now, let me ask you, because you said something very important. It's really dependent upon that client that you work with. So when you work with a client, okay, let's just talk to listeners. Maybe they want to reach out to you, right? Or maybe they're looking to, you know, for someone like, you know, like yourself. How do they take advantage of you to the fullest capacity? Like those kind of people that are like, okay, not only am I ready, but what kind of questions should I come to you, Angela? What kind of, you know, solutions? What, you know, obviously I want to be a cup and I want you to fill me. How do I come in humbly, and how do I come in with the right mindset? And you know, what does that look like for that individual that's, you know, maybe listening right now, that's, you know, realizing, okay, I need a switch in my business. I need something like the Italian lifestyle, but how do I take advantage of someone like yourself working with them?
Okay. So, I would say the people that can really take advantage of me are those, I like to call them rebellious and ambitious and also heart-centered business owners that are on their mission to change the world, impact the world for the better. They are really working and having good results, but they are understanding that their life is not, you know, the lifestyle is not the lifestyle that they wanted to live. But they also understand that, or I make them understand that they, through La Dolce Vita and through embodying La Dolce Vita, not only in their life, but also in their leadership style, they can impact their business environment, the company environment, and create this nourishing environment where their people can thrive. So some of the questions are really, how do I need to show up in my business? What do I need to be aware of in my business, you know, to change things, to make things better? So, and the first thing is, be aware that no matter what you're asking from your people, no matter if you're asking them, you know, to be enthusiastic and to be committed and to be all in, and the way you show up determines the company culture. It determines how people are feeling and how they are reacting And you better realize it and be very well aware. So the first person who needs change or who needs to improve something, it's you. Then you can impact other people. So they also can ask me, you know, how can they be more open, more coachable? Okay. And there are also another important thing that I would like to say is, how can they implement all this? And this is through my theory of the four dimensions. So what do I need to have in place to create La Dolce Vita in my life and to bring La Dolce Vita into my comp, to lead from a Dolce Vita way? So I like to call this the four pillars or the four dimensions of La Dolce Vita. And I say it's four things like the wheels of a car, and it's vitality. Vita is an acronym. Vitality, illumination, techniques, and asset. So you are living La Dolce Vita to the max and embodying La Dolce Vita to the max when you have in place the right routines to keep your energies and you yourself alive and vital. It means many things like what you're eating, how many hours you're sleeping, you know, and all that, or the quality of what you are eating and sleeping, etc., you know, sports and, you know, all the things that keep you energized. Then illumination is creativity, is your approach. How can you be more committed, more focused and lighthearted at the same time? You know, how can you approach everything from that standpoint? So, and this is the illumination part. Then we have the techniques, and it's the hard stuff. So it's organization, it's systems and structure and all the square things that enable you to be free. Okay. And you have to become disciplined in becoming freer. And then assets, what are your assets? So, you know, it's the first asset, it's you, then it's your relationship, then it's your skill set, then it's your mindset, your beliefs and all that. And you can take this from your personal standpoint and bring it into the culture. So a culture, a company has to be vital. They have to be, you know, like illuminated, have, you know, creativity and all the people engaged and all that. There should be a structure and the right routines and organizational culture inside, and also assets, you know, so people, superpower, your product and everything like this. So these are the four things that I would like you to think about and to put in place.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, because much more, see, a lot of business owners that I even work with, and you'll probably see this as well, they always want, you know, more profit, more revenue, more growth in their business or something along that line, right? And the reality, though, is in order to actually get that, you have to work on yourself, which is what you're saying. Vitality is the number basis, right? And then, you know, certain habits, certain, you know, beliefs, certain things that you work on internally, and then allows you to then, like you said, you know, get to that leadership, that business structure, the techniques and so forth on the back end. But it's, you know, what I find so interesting is people think, oh, all I need is just more lead generation. All I need is more of that technical stuff. And the reality is that limiting beliefs, it's those beliefs, it's those patterns, those habits, like you were saying, that actually affect the long term and is the better return on investment. And I think that's a paradigm shift that a lot of business owners have to switch into, is when they come into working with like someone like yourself, it's like, okay, being able to think, okay, hey, this is the best way to take advantage of yourself and get the most return on investment from you. Because it's like, okay, hey, I need to figure this out personally, because then I know the 10X result will produce better employees, attract better, you know, employees, better clients, better growth in my business and so forth. So I love that. I love that basis. And because it's such a paradigm shift. I don't know if you've seen that as well, but it's a different mindset that you have to come and approach to it.
I totally agree. And what I have seen too many times in my professional life is those business owners that hire consultants or coaches to fix, quote unquote, the people inside, to fix the organizational culture, to fix numbers, to fix sales, to fix this and this and this, and they want to stay out of the game. I say, I'm sorry, this is not working. And I don't work, I used to do that, but I don't work with companies where the boss, the top leader is not involved at all. Because you know what happened is that, say that the top, the leader stayed outside of this process, of this development process. So if the people work well with the consultant, they get paradigm shift, you know, they get, you know, like all those light bulbs, you know, they are going, they're changing their mindsets, they're having shift, and they are really changing in their small for this part. And then the leader, the boss, is disaligned. So the messages that are coming from the consultant and from the other people and that of the leader are on a two parallel lines that never converge. So then what happens? The leader doesn't understand, you know, what's going on. So they say, ah, these consultants are no good at all. They never work. So there is no, you know, or, ah, no, 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 no. Let's not work with our people anymore. Let's change, you know, let's fire the, oh, let me tell you, don't get me wrong. Some people has to be fired if they are not all in, if they're not aligned with the values and, you know, the mission and everything. But so really ask yourself, if you're a business owner, please ask yourself what's happening inside your company if the work didn't go the way you wanted, you know, the work of a consultant didn't work the way you wanted.
And I love that. I love that because it is that psychological aspect where we justify. And I see that a lot as well. You know, definitely working with, you know, business owners that have several teams. They want to pull themselves outside the box and say, here, consultant here, business owner here, whatever, come in, you know, fix my, you know, bottom end revenue. And the reality is, well, we first got to help you have that right mindset and so forth. So I just appreciate you, you know, foot stomping that, which is awesome. So let's talk a little bit more about the four pillars. How did you come about developing those four pillars in your system? Because obviously I love what you had, the vitality, illuminating, as well as technical and then assets as well. How did you come about to developing that?
I started it first on myself because I've understood as in my personal path, what I noticed is that it's very easy to understand, the way that I live, the way that I show up in my life impacts my productivity and the way I show up in my business and the other way around as well. Even though at the beginning of my career, it was like a taboo to talk about, you know, your personal things, you know, never bring your, you know, personal stuff in business, doesn't make sense and everything like this. So when I stopped and I didn't work for a few months. So this really gave me this perspective. And then I was thinking, you know, I really, what was working? What is working? What wasn't working? Etc. So I understood that these four, of course, I divided it in four dimensions and everybody can, you know, can be, everybody has their methodology, but, you know, this really takes into consideration these four dimensions. And the inspiration is the balanced scorecard, you know, that you use in your business to have a balance. So these four aspects produce the results. So for me, I work with a person, not with the business. You know, people have to be this four dimension aligned and balanced. And I like to illustrate them by using this the analogy of the metaphor of a rally race. You know, I come from the automotive the automotive industry, so I love cars, and one of my dreams is really to drive in a rally race. The pecking Paris, who knows, maybe in the future. So let me say that when you go on a rally, you take a car that has to be, it's a normal car, it's a regular car, it's not an F1 car, special, whatever, it's a regular car. Sometimes it's also an historical car, and we are historical in a way because we are not, you know, like children. We are like in our 30, 40, 50 or something like this. So something is working and something is not working in our lives. And we have a lot of baggage, you know. So we go and prepare this car for that race. So we don't go on business like this, like improvising. So we have to prepare it. So we want to make sure that the wheels that are the four dimensions are aligned. They are in balance. They have the right, how you say, the right tire, you know, because different roads require different tires. And then you want to have a lot of fuel in your tank, and the tank is the energy, okay? And of course, you have a dashboard with all the lights that are coming up, you know, when something needs attention. And these are the emotions. Emotions are something that are very, very important to be taken into consideration in business. Also, the emotion of the business itself, of the company, there are the sum of the emotions of all the people that are inside there. So you can always play it with in a personal way and, you know, like from personal to company culture. So you have to take care of what light is opening up. And then there is a driver in the car and there is a navigator. So who is driving? Are you business owner driving your car? Are you leader leading your life? Or are you an autopilot and is there somebody else that is telling you where to go? And this is very interesting, you know, to explore when a client comes to me, because there are, you know, all the expectations. How are you playing your role as a leader? Where did you learn it, you know, and all those stuff. So this is quite important. And then you have passengers in your cars. Who are the passengers? Did you choose those passengers? Did you find those passengers? Are there the passengers that you want? So you can really play with this metaphor and find a whole lot of very, very fascinating things that when you have explored them and put them right into place, or you're just aware of them, then you are all set for success.
And that's a really good analogy, every step, and really good questions to ask every step of the way. Because, you know, when you start looking at it, like you said, you know, kind of that metaphor, that analogy for your own life, you're able to really start, you know, being able to stop and say, okay, well, that is very true. You know, who's surrounding me? Am I driving, or is life really just driving and I'm on an autopilot? And, you know, what are my emotions, and really taking account for that? That's a great analogy. So, and I love how you developed the four pillars, because you actually implemented for your own life and found that those pillars created the result that you wanted out of life. And now you've been able to impact, you know, I mean, hundreds upon hundreds of clients that you've worked with, which is awesome. You know, Angela, I really appreciate, you know, being able to just talk a little bit more about this, really switching the paradigm shift and really having a conversation specifically to business owners and say, hey, you know what? It's not all about, you know, hustling, moving, right? All that time, right? And I think that's just like hashtag hustle, right? That's the thing right nowadays. And it's about that Italian lifestyle, right? Which is what you're saying throughout what we're talking about. And the power and the return on investment, not only for your business, but also for your life, for your relationships, and things like that, and even spiritual as well. So, you know, before we let you go, Angela, where can they reach out to you? How can they communicate with you?
Two ways. One is my website, www.angelasanti.it, like Italy. And the other way is through LinkedIn. I love to connect on LinkedIn and have people like following my post and, you know, like discussing things there. So these are the place where I always am. And I like to say that I answer to all messages in person. So happy to connect with anyone who's interested in knowing more.
Awesome. And guys, those links will actually be in the description below. Make sure you reach out to her. She's obviously been in this space for quite a while. She knows what she's been able to do, and she's obviously been able to create incredible results. So I would highly recommend connecting with her, just touching base with her. But before we let you go, Angela, is there any last words that you would like to share with our audience?
I like to say in Italian, well, actually, in Latin, I would say carpe diem. It means seize the moment, live in the moment, and embrace the beauty of life every single moment of your life, and never forget to schedule in advance even 5 minutes of Dolce Vita time in your day. You will see amazing shifts.
And that is a beautiful, beautiful, action step. Angela Santi, thank you so much for joining. Guys, thank you so much for listening as well. This is Journey with Christian D. Evans podcast. I'm your host, Christian D. Evans. And remember, be uncommon.
Hi, Christian. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.